Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello there, Matt Wilhelm.
Hello.
Matt Wilhelm, Nathan Zagura. My Mo Pedman. Mo Pedman having some Chinese food, a delicacy in Switzerland, I'm told.
Pounds of it.
Actually, a fairly modest proportion for Mo Pedman. But we are with you here for the next 2 hours for Cleveland Browns Daily. On today's show, our Ohio business machine hot topics about getting ready for New England. We'll go through that New England Patriots squad, what they've been doing, where they are potentially vulnerable. Not very many places. We'll play a great Bill Belichick conference call today. Bill Belichick, a lot of we're on to Cleveland. We're on to Cleveland. Fantastic stuff. We got Mailbag Wednesday. So tweet your questions to me and Matt at Browns_daily. Use the hashtag AskCBD. We've got some good ones already coming in. We've got Joe Hayden from the podium. And then at 2:30, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who wrote a great article on Terrell Pryor. And I thought it was very, very good. And talks about what he could be worth on the open market. And he's a guy that you got to think the Browns are going to want to lock up before this season is over. Don't let him get to the unrestricted free agent market. Isaiah Crowell, another guy that you think they're going to want to lock up, although he's a restricted free agent at the end of the year. Let's start with just some transactional business here for the Cleveland Browns. Some more moves were made by the Browns today. The Browns have elevated, they have signed offensive lineman Anthony Fabiano to their active roster from the practice squad to make room on the 53. The team has waived defensive lineman Gabe Wright, who has played pretty well.
Yeah.
But he's caught in a numbers game. And people are saying, well, wait a second. You're bringing up an offensive lineman. You've got Austin Ryder, who's got a torn ACL. You need to put him on IR. Why is he not on IR? Why are we cutting people to make these moves? Well, it's a little known fact, to quote Cliff Clavin, that in the National Football League, when you sign a player off of another team's practice squad, which the Browns did with Austin Ryder, he must be on your 53-man roster for a minimum of 3 weeks. So Ryder must be on the Browns roster this week for this game, and then next week they'll be able to place him on IR and free that spot up. But it's forced him to make a tough decision, and Gabe Wright's a guy who I thought had played very, very well, Matt, and a guy who was disruptive the last two games especially. He was right there with Tyrone Holmes on the hit that led to the pick six in Miami and played, I thought, well against Washington. But, you know, it's a numbers game, and he just got caught in it, and so they bring in another offensive lineman, a guy who hopefully can play in the interior.
Sure.
And gone is Gabe Wright.
Yeah, and what's surprising for the Cleveland Browns with some of their inactives on game day, you know, most teams have the luxury of a bunch of healthy scratches. You know, young players who aren't essentially, you want on the active 53-man roster but aren't ready, you know, to play in the football game or aren't built into your game plan. Well, the last couple weeks, we've needed almost everybody because of RG3, Josh McCown, Ibrahim Campbell, Cam Irving, you know, Joe Hayden at one point. It was a bunch of guys hurt, you know, and in this case, it's the same thing. So again, as you're talking about it, it's like we're going to have a bunch of those same names out in another week. And so we're already whittled down, you know, to maybe 46, 47 guys. And then you got to have a certain number that you feel comfortable with as a head coach or as an organization on what you want to carry on that 45. Because, I mean, what happens if, and again, I'm not talking, I don't want this to happen, but if Greco rolls his ankle and needs to miss some snaps, you bring in the next guy and the next guy gets concussed, then what? You know, you got to have the depth at those positions. And in
Mo
this
Pedman,
case,
plug up the middle.
Yeah. Right. He's like as large as two people.
So one thing I will say about this, if I'm going to read between the lines, I think there's a silver lining in this move. If they felt that they could add an offensive lineman here and cut a defensive lineman, we've heard the time frame it was possible. I think it means Carl Nassib is going to be back this week against New England.
I agree. What has his participation been on the injury report?
He's been out, but this week was the week that they were targeting all along. I got to talk to him briefly in Washington, looked to be in good spirits, said that he was very close, and I think they'll club him up, and I think he will be able to go out there against New England. So I think that's the reason it was a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
But Gabe Wright, I think, did a good job. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back to our practice squad. Ultimately where he was before he signed up. In addition to those moves, two people signed to the practice squad. Offensive lineman Michael Lidke and the return of Bibtacular. EJ Bibbs is back, baby.
For significantly less money.
Stop it. Stop it. He's back. My guy, he's back. It's great. EJ Bibbs on the practice squad. Now, that happened because Connor Hamlett activated the 53-man roster. You've got Duvall injured, Telfer injured, only two healthy tight ends. So, but it's good to see Bibbs back. I saw him yesterday in the building. A real treat. A fine young man, Mr. Bibbs. That's right. Mo Pedman's excited about it, too. So those are the moves on the roster there. Again, for those wondering why Austin Ryder not on IR, that's the reason I went and found that out. He's got to be, when you sign off of a practice squad, he's got to be here for a minimum of 3 weeks. So, as I said, on today's show, in the first hour, we've got Bill Belichick. We've got in the second hour, Charles Robinson and Joe Hayden as well. But when you look at this team, and by the way, people are starting to get into it. They're starting to talk about the notion that Tom Brady having rust is completely crazy, and there's a good chance that it is completely crazy. But this is a team that has come out, and they're 3-1. It's almost like they didn't want to show anything last game with Jacoby Brissett, but this is a team that on offense, Gronk says he thinks he's finally going to be full go this week. They're going to come at you with the two tight ends with Rob Gronkowski and Martellus Bennett. They're going to play a lot of that 22 personnel or a lot of that, you know, 12 personnel. I think that this is a tough matchup for the Browns, who have had trouble covering tight ends all season.
Correct.
Martellus Bennett over 100 yards last week. We know what Gronk can do when he's healthy. This is going to be an all-hands-on-deck type situation. I think out wide, Chris Hogan doesn't scare me.
Nope.
Sorry. You know, Malcolm Mitchell doesn't scare me. Edelman is a great slot receiver. There's going to be a lot of pressure
Danny
on the
Amendola
middle
runs
of the field.
Special routes as well. No, but you're right. And I really think the more and more I've had an opportunity to contemplate, you know, what Tom Brady coming back means, the more I really feel, and it goes back to a little conversation I think we had yesterday or maybe even Monday talking briefly about the Patriots, is I would not be surprised that if Tom Brady puts the ball in the air 24 times in the first half of this week's football game. Only because the Patriots and Tom Brady believe that his intelligence about football and where to go with that football and in the timely nature of him to deliver the football is better regardless of if you like the matchup of Chris Hogan and Jamar Taylor or Julian Edelman and Joe Hayden, whatever it is. It's they like their matchup better, you know, with his ability to deliver the football in a timely nature, that they're going to run those underneath routes, 7 yards or less, get the football out of his hands, get him confident, get him some throws, and then that's when you get in, you get Martellus Bennett and Rob Gronkowski involved in game planning situations that have given us trouble in the past. Crockett Gilmore, Dennis Pitta, week two. You look at this past week in Jordan Reed. What gave us trouble? And you're gonna go back time and time again, and you're gonna continue to stress that defense until that defense proves they've got that fixed.
And you look at this team so far, and obviously it was without Tom Brady, but they have been a very run-heavy team. LeGarrette Blount, 88 carries, 352 yards. This is one of the top rushing offenses in the National Football League, and they've had to do it not because they've necessarily wanted to do it, but because without Tom Brady, they had to change kind of the way that they've been doing business. And we know the Browns, the number one rushing attack in the NFL, the Cowboys, number two. Well, number three, that's the New England Patriots. They're averaging 136 yards per game. They've got five rushing touchdowns. LeGarrette Blount, the main man there, 352 yards, four touchdowns on the ground. They've actually run more than they've thrown the ball. 114 pass attempts on the season, 130 rushes. And we talked about the problems, right? Martellus Bennett actually leads this team in receiving yards, 247, 16.5 yards a catch. Other than that, everybody has kind of been, you know, Edelman, 10 yards a catch. Amendola right there, 13 yards a catch. It's that small intermediate stuff. But Bennett has been a game breaker, and they're going to get Gronk back. He's saying on Twitter, anyway, that he will be a full go. But that is the part of this team that concerns me more than any, because I don't think we can match up with them as pass catchers. And when a team has two guys who are tight ends, by the way, Bennett, a ridiculous run blocker, as is Gronk. It's almost like they get to have seven offensive linemen. That is a tough situation when you have somebody who's as good at play action as Tom Brady.
And that's something, and I know we're going to hear from Bill Belichick here shortly with his, you know, his conference call. And a lot of it has to depend on Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady's ability to go into this football game. And I mean, they're a 10.5-point favorite on the road for a reason. And I think they have to ask themselves, how do we want to win this football game? Because It's do we want to, you know, thumb our cheek at the NFL and have Brady go off and have a big day through the air and you know, get all these weapons going in Bennett and Gronkowski and Edelman and Hogan as well? Or do we want to grind this game out, which I believe they will, with a mix of run and pass and a little bit more, you know, kind of an easing Tom Brady back into the game plan with a very winnable game, maybe having him go, you know, 17 of 25, but it's a grind you out 17-6 football game on the road, and then it's like it's on to whoever's next. Because they can ultimately do that if they wanted to, I'm sure in their mind, as they prepare to play the Cleveland Browns.
They do. When you look at this team, we were talking about Martellus Bennett. He is right now Pro Football Focus's, and I know that Mo Pedman gets excited when he hears those words, but he is their top-graded tight end on the season just overall, and a large part of that has to do with the fact that he has been so dominant as a run blocker. His run blocking grade is also the best of any tight end in the NFL. So this guy is basically a bona fide stud up front, and he can get behind you to the tune of 16.5 yards a catch. So that is a guy that I think is going to be a big focus in this game for this football team. And we're going to go through just kind of the get to know you. We do that in this one. We don't really look at the matchups per se, but we do more of a get to know you with this team, and we will do that in today's show, offensively, defensively, et cetera, where this team's at. The New England Patriots. They're 3-1, which I think, would you have said, that's, I think that's what we both had for them in those first four games. But
I think I might have had 2-2.
And to do it with Jacoby Brissett starting two of those games is even more impressive. Because
correct.
He really was a non-factor, a complete non-factor for this team, and certainly in the game against Buffalo, and really in the game against Houston, didn't complete one pass of more than 10 yards in the air. Now, they've got some familiar faces on defense. We'll talk about that as the show continues, give you the highlights on this Patriots team. But, you know, a couple Cleveland Browns making their way back. One of them who already has 3 sacks on the season in Jabal Sheard. Barkevious Mingo's gotten a handful of snaps, literally 5, on defense so far for them this season, primarily a special teams contributor. But this is going to be a difficult, difficult matchup for this Browns team. This is not a game that you come into, you know, and it's interesting. Was there ever a time in your career in that your 4-12 year, your rookie year, where you guys just felt that you were overmatched going into a game? And how does that, you know, I know that there's a lot of belief in this locker room. We've been competitive with everybody, but this is a game where I think, you know, everybody being realistic is kind of, there are going to be some guys that are young that have been watching Tom Brady play for longer than they've been playing football.
Yeah.
You know, does that impact guys?
It does. And I think that the onus to eradicate that thought and that feeling is on the coaches. Because if the coaches can create a game plan and get you to buy in and believe in that game plan, that Tom Brady, no Tom Brady, Patriots undefeated, Patriots 0-4, but a quality opponent. And I think that's the one thing that you hear as we hear from these players consistently is when they watch the film, they don't necessarily watch. And I know sometimes it's very hard to do this, and it was for me, but you don't necessarily watch a certain player. Like, again, last week in preparation for the Washington Redskins, where's Josh Norman? If you can watch the tape on what that person does, not Josh Norman, but that, how do their corners play? What is the corner that I'm matched up with like to play? Now, does he have a name, and is he paid a significant amount of money? Yes. But I think when you dive into a game plan like this, you don't necessarily, you know, psych yourself out by going, oh my gosh, it's Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. You watch them as a football team, not necessarily the name on their back, and go, what do they do? How does this tight end, whether it's Bennett or Gronk, release off the line of scrimmage? And I go back to my point, or goes back to my point that I told you about, you know, some of the tells of Tony Gonzalez back with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Sure.
When they line him up here, they like to do these three things. Otherwise, you know, he's always going to go out for a pass. Pick up on those tendencies, and as I said, the onus falls on the coaches to motivate these men, to create a great plan, to build belief as the week goes on through your execution and practice, to the point where you're bought in that, I don't care who it is that shows up at First Energy Stadium, we have a chance to beat them based on what we have planned and what we've seen on film.
Yeah, and you've got to feel that way, and this is going to be one of those games that this is going to be a test of the resolve for this team. Nobody is giving them a chance, and in some ways that's freeing. Because nobody's thinking that you are going to win this game. There's no pressure on the Browns coming into this game. Nobody thinks they have a chance. And I think for these guys, I know they believe in themselves, but they're going to be able to play free and hopefully make some of those plays that get that W on Sunday against the Patriots. Although you and I both know That is going to be a tall, tall order. When we come back, 216-578-0850, you can call us up. We'll give you a kind of the rundown of who these guys have on offense. Some of it may surprise you. They're very young on this offensive line. We will talk about that. 216-578-0850. You can call us. Also, tweet your questions using the hashtag AskCBD. We already have some of them in there, and we will continue to read those into our second hour. Joe Hayden, Charles Robinson, not Little Nate, not the referee from the WWE. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports is going to be with us at 2:30. Wrote a great article. I'll tweet out the link to it about Terrell Pryor and what his season could mean for him financially and for the Browns. It's all coming up on CBD.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, fans. Head to browns.whereimfrom.com for your chance to win an autographed Browns player t-shirt and a Where I'm From apparel gift pack. Winner will be selected Sunday morning before the game. Again, that's browns.whereimfrom.com. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. We will go to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. We've got Dan in Cleveland with us. Dan, welcome.
What's up, Nathan?
How you doing, bro?
Hey, I'm about to lay the Browns should be 3-1 right now.
The potential certainly has been there to win games. Unfortunately, they have not gotten it done when they've needed to and sit here at 0-4.
So how are they 10 points underdog?
Well, this is...
What's the logic in that?
Well, how many... I'll ask you this. Should the Browns have beaten the Washington Redskins last week?
Yeah.
What? How many points did they lose by in that game?
I forgot.
11. And I would say the New England Patriots are a lot better than the Washington Redskins.
It was there for the taking. The Patriots suck, you know.
I don't know that. Why do you say that?
I just don't, you know, they don't have, it's not like the old Patriots, you know what I mean? So I don't think.
They just went, hold on a second. Okay. This is, you're talking about a Patriots team that just went 3-1 in the National Football League. Who would you say that without Tom Brady, who's arguably the greatest quarterback of all time?
I agree.
And who's their next best player? Rob Gronkowski hasn't played at all in those four games.
But two of those games have been at home, I think.
Okay.
So that matters. You know, they're coming in Cleveland right now. So
I like the optimism. I'm just saying New England is a 10-point favorite because they are probably, if not the best football team in the NFL, they're certainly one of the top four teams in the NFL. And the Browns are, of the 32 teams in the league, whether we think they should be 3-1 or not, are the only team that doesn't have a win yet. And so that's why they're favored. Now, when everybody thinks it's going to be a laugher, it rarely is. I think that Hugh Jackson's got this team coming, and they're going to play him close. But they're favored like that for a reason, because that's a damn good organization with probably the best quarterback in the NFL, an underrated defense that has been dominant, and they can mismatch you with these two tight ends like nobody else in the league. They beat the Houston Texans, who have their Brock Osweiler and J.J. Watt and all those people. They boat raced them. Yes, it was at home with Jacoby Brissett not throwing a pass of more than 10 yards in the air. They can beat you in a variety of ways. This is a very good football team. They shouldn't be taken lightly. You can say the Browns are being disrespected, but you know, and I think they are. When people are saying they're the 32nd team in the NFL, I don't think that that's right. I think there are teams. Right now, you line up the Browns and the Niners, I'm taking the Cleveland Browns.
Me too.
Chicago Bears, I'm taking the Cleveland Browns. So I don't think they're the worst team. But we're going to get upset about them being 10-point underdogs to the New England Patriots. There are better things, I think, to get upset about. I mean, this is a good team that is going to be, you know, they're going to be well coached. They've got very good players. They have won without their two best players by a wide margin at, by the way, the most critical position in the league.
Correct.
In Tom Brady.
Yeah. I have a feeling this is going to be closer than a lot of people think. Okay. That's my gut. But, and I believe that there was a lot of, and I know it's not a victory, but there's a lot of respect on the line for the Cleveland Browns if they can go toe-to-toe with the Patriots with Tom Brady back, with however you want to frame what this game means to the Patriots.
Absolutely, and I think what you need to try to do is use this game as a building block, because if you can go out there and steal this win, what a massive confidence boost it is for your team.
Yeah.
If you go out there and play competitive, I still think it's a confidence boost for your team. At some point, that wears out. The confidence boost from almost winning, it does not work out. As Scott Hall checks in, lets us know there's some stuff going on here. A tremendous text I just got from Mo Pedman's cousin there. Jealous that he's in studio, apparently. But nonetheless, this is a game that you want to take some pause out. It could get ugly. I mean, look, good teams get beaten up pretty bad. I think on Monday Night Football, nobody's coming out of that game feeling good about the Giants. And what, that Minnesota team just whooped them up.
They did.
This is a tough matchup. You're adding to a 3-1 team already, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, because Gronk has really not been healthy, and he's saying this is the week that he expects to be healthy. I mean, their signing of Martellus Bennett was as good of an offseason move as anybody made this year.
So here's a question that I'm probably everybody's asking right now. If you were playing FanDuel, do you pick up Rob Gronkowski or Martellus Bennett?
You play Bennett until Gronk, because first of all, he's going to be cheaper because of his name, but you play him until it is, you know, you feel pretty good about what's going on there and what's, you know, that he is ready and he's not just a decoy. Because if you played him the last 2 weeks, you've been expecting non-decoy and all you've gotten, decoy.
There's a lot of disappointed fantasy owners out there this year, I think, with some of the top players, right? Adrian Peterson and Gronkowski. Gronkowski was a fantasy darling last year, was he not?
He was. He is one of those guys that was the ultimate matchup giver, one of the guys that had been a beast for you. One thing that I am curious to see in this game is how well they do with Terrell Pryor. Because if you know Bill Belichick, what does he like to do? He likes to say, okay, what do you do well? I'm going to try to take that away from you. I expect two things to happen in this game. Number one, I expect them to just absolutely load the box. Now, Crow's had his big runs of come against eight-man boxes, so I'm fine with that.
Right.
But I expect them to load the box and try to put the game in the hands of Cody Kessler, and I expect them to put Malcolm Butler and perhaps with help over the top of Devin McCourty wherever Terrell Pryor is and say, okay, Cody Kessler, you beat me by throwing the ball to Gary Barnidge, Ricardo Lewis,
Andrew Hawkins. Yes.
Good luck.
Good luck. And that's why
this is a test for this team.
It is a very much a test, and I think what I would do is something similar to what you just said, but even further, we're taking a step further, is having Malcolm Butler at the line of scrimmage jamming Terrell Pryor, a brand new wide receiver in the National Football League, forcing him to get off the line of scrimmage, forcing Cody Kessler to see him getting jammed and stay with him long enough that Terrell Pryor is good enough to win versus a double team up the field.
Let me ask you this. Why don't more teams do this, what I'm about to say? Because if I was the Patriots, this is what I would do. Now, Bill Belichick's smarter than I am, so if he doesn't do it, that means what he's doing is right, and I'm an idiot. However, or maybe it doesn't. If I was playing the Browns right now, and I've got a great number one corner in Malcolm Butler, why not double on every play Terrell Pryor with Logan Ryan, their number two corner, with McCourty over the top, who's one of the best free safeties and certainly coverage free safeties in the game, throw Malcolm Butler on Ricardo Lewis. Now where are you going with the ball? Ricardo Lewis is not going to win one-on-one with Malcolm Butler very often.
Right.
TP still doubled on every play.
Right.
So it's going to be about Hawk and Barnidge. That's going to be your whole passing attack?
Yeah, that's a great point. But
teams don't do that often, though, where they take their number two corner, use him in a double on the opposing number one, and then put their number one on the number two, especially when there's a disparity like ours between TP. Now, I don't think you do it with Corey Coleman, but with TP and Ricardo Lewis.
Well, there's a couple areas you can go in with this, and why they don't do that is, one, you have full faith in your defense conceptually. And I think when you do that, you change everything around it as well. It's bigger than just two people changing positions, first and foremost, you know, and then it changes a lot when you have a safety. Safeties always lean one way or another. You know, lean to Julio Jones or whatever. But when it is an all-out double team, that changes everything else. You know, what is that other safety doing? There's compensation that you have to do. Now, I get that we don't have to have the weapons opposite Terrell Pryor that you really have to overly compensate for in this case. But that's one reason why. And then the other thing is, and it kind of goes along the same lines, is some corners are just they're right and left. And some teams, as we see, you know, Victor Cruz and these other guys talk about, you know, Josh Norman not following around the number one wide receivers. Then there are teams that do that, you know. And are the Patriots a team that has Malcolm Butler guard the number one regardless of where he goes? Slot, Z, X, no matter where he goes. So there's multiple levels to it. And because the one thing that I think that the Patriots can get away with is just being a blackboard defense, which means everybody just does their job as it was introduced and run in the first 2 weeks of training camp and beat the Cleveland Browns. Because I believe that Bill Belichick, yes, they're going to do something to disrupt Terrell Pryor and take him away. And then, but even if they didn't, I think the Patriots as a whole, as a defense, from a pass rush standpoint, from an athletic linebacking standpoint, and a back end can cover us up anyway. You know?
Yes.
That, and I don't believe that even furthermore, he didn't do it against the Miami Dolphins. So Terrell Pryor can't single-handedly beat you. He can't.
No.
And a lot of that has to do with the fact that Cody Kessler's your quarterback.
Right. By the way, just because I wanted you on, I looked this up. Malcolm Butler has played 32 snaps in the slot, so he's moved. They've had four guys who basically covered out of the slot all around that same range. Logan Ryan's been there more than anybody, but Malcolm Butler has followed around, so he hasn't been completely on just one side or in one position. He has moved around and followed people in the early going so far. Now, these guys, you can throw on all of them. So far, their cornerbacks are all given up. Justin Coleman, 103 snaps on the season. He's their third. He's given up a quarterback rating of 86 when targeted. Malcolm Butler's been the best at 80.6, and then Logan Ryan's given up 111.7. So, you know, Butler has been the best corner that they've got. It's just going to be an interesting thing to see how they want to go about dealing with this Browns team, because right now the Browns are the number one running team in the NFL. So your weapons, when you look at it, you basically have had – you've had Terrell Pryor at receiver doing everything that he can and being your most vertical guy. You've got your ground game, Crow and Duke, and then Duke out of the backfield on checkdowns. Barnage has really been used more as a checkdown guy, safety valve. And then Ricardo Lewis has made a couple of plays so far. It'll be interesting to see in this game, you know, what Bill Belichick does, because at some point somebody is going to suffocate the Browns. They're going to suffocate the ground game and then suffocate the short and intermediate pass game and just dare the Browns to take their shots down the field.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Bill Belichick's a guy who likes to do that.
Exactly. And that's where the one thing, as if I were Hugh Jackson going into this football game, it's identifying matchups that you prefer. Okay? So if you know Malcolm Butler is going to be on Terrell Pryor and wipe him off the board, you know, you're only going to pick your spots on delivering the football to Terrell Pryor. Then you go to your second best playmaker, has got to be probably Gary Barnage. What do they like to do versus, you know, Pro Bowl type tight ends? How do they take him away? Do they jam at the line of scrimmage? Is he in man-to-man on a tight end, so on and so forth? So the two things that I want to see the Cleveland Browns do, and I know that's one of your keys to the football game, is run the football, pound the rock, you know, with the Crow, shorten this football game, keep Tom Brady on the sideline, and then I would not be surprised if we go empty or four wide or five wide at times and basically give a half the field read or a matchup read for Cody Kessler. When we go empty or we motion to empty or we explode to empty, who's the culprit on the Patriot defense that is most susceptible to in their matchup to getting beat? And that's the one that you force feed the football to time and time again until they fix it. And then we're dictating to the Patriots defense instead of the Patriots defense dictating what we are and what we're not going to do.
Yeah,
that's two ways. And I think and also even furthermore, a lot of people might think, you know, oh, Cody Kessler with five receivers and he's back there all by himself. No, that's pitch and catch for Cody Kessler. That's what he does best, is accurately deliver the football when he knows where to go with the football. That's what we've seen through two games.
What I think has been interesting is that tight ends so far this season against the Patriots are averaging well under 10 yards a catch. So they're kind of letting tight ends be that safety valve, which is what we've seen from Gary Barnage. What we saw in that game against the Washington Redskins, certainly, where Barnage was very involved in the passing game, but caught seven passes for 57 yards, 8 yards a catch. That's what I think they like to do. And that's where they're going to try to keep him in there, keep him in that bubble, not allow him to move the chains. When we come back, maybe Bill Belichick will say something other than we're on to Cleveland. Maybe not, but we'll find out when we hear from him next on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. Let's go to the podium now and hear from a man who some would say has the gift of gab. Others probably would not. He's very blunt. He's very direct. And he is always in control of his press conferences, Bill Belichick.
Can you talk about, just what kind of demeanor that you've seen in Tom as he heads into this game?
Well, we haven't practiced yet. So just, you know, the whole team, we're all just getting started here on getting to know Cleveland, you know, getting familiar with them. It's been a lot of changes since the last time that we've played them. And getting familiar with the team, their schemes, their players, you know, what we need to do to prepare for it. So that's kind of where the whole team is now, just, you know, going through those preparations, and then we'll practice this afternoon and take it from there.
Hey, Coach, how impressed are you by Terrell Pryor's move to receiver, and how does his versatility challenge the defense?
It's been really impressive. He, you know, shown the ability to really do everything that you could ask of a receiver, really, or as a football player. He's made, you know, great plays down the field, taking the ball away from defenders. You know, shown great timing and ball skills to get the ball. He's made good run after catch plays, taking short passes and turning them into long runs with his speed and his elusiveness, his ability to break tackles and pick up extra yards. And then he's been productive, you know, as the in the quarterback position, you know, throwing, running, and just, you know, adding another dimension to the offense and, you know, another thing that defense has to spend a lot of time working on, all the multiple possibilities that he creates back there with his experience at quarterback as well as his skill set. So it's been, you know, he's a dynamic player for the Browns and has a lot of different skills, and Coach Jackson's using them in a lot of different ways. It makes it very hard on the defense.
He mentioned this last week that he really enjoyed his visit up there to New England. He thought that you really liked him. Actually, he told me that he thought you were going to sign him. He spent a few extra days there, and that in the end, he got the impression that he thought perhaps maybe you didn't think the hamstring was 100% ready to go. So, you know, just wondering, you know, how that went down. Did you really like him and want to sign him, and why didn't you?
Well, we work out a lot of players here, and those in-season workouts and roster decisions are based on a lot of factors. The player that we work out is one of the factors, but other factors are things that relate to our team and, you know, what other current situations we're dealing with at that particular time. So,
hey, Coach, what did you like about Sheard when you signed him as a free agent, and how's he been able to be so productive for you guys?
Well, as you know, Jabal was, you know, very productive in Cleveland. You know, he did a good job in playing the run, rushing the passer. He's a powerful player that can, you know, power rush, work inside, also work the edge. We've used him both inside and outside. We've used him some as a defensive tackle in pass rush situations and also some in coverage. He's been productive for us in a lot of different areas. So, you know, good kid, works hard, smart, very physically strong for his size, with good instincts, good awareness. He's a good football player.
Hey, Bill, is there anyone left in the league who was coaching before you got with the Lions or the Colts? Whatever team you started with, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look at that.
How long do you want to keep going?
Right now, Tony, just really focused on the Browns this week, trying to do a good job of getting our team prepared to play. Hopefully we can play better than we did last week. So just trying to get ready for Cleveland.
Coach, what do you see from Isaiah Crowell in the Browns run game when you watch him on film?
Very explosive. You know, they do a great job of running the ball. They have a lot of different ways to run it. They have multiple schemes, zone schemes, gap schemes. They do, you know, shifting, motion, unbalanced line, try to create different alignment problems for the defense, different force problems for the defense. Coach Jackson does a, does a good job of keeping the defense off balance with some of his multiple formationing and movement. But in the end, it's all about fundamentals. It's a good fundamental team. They block well. They're very good at double team blocks. They create great movement on double teams. Do a good job of pulling backs run downhill. Kroll's strong, tough, breaks tackles, makes a lot of yards on his own. Very explosive through the hole. Breaks a lot of arm tackles and you got to do a good job with him in a running game. He's got great ball security. Got to do a good job of defending the gaps and tackling. Duke Johnson's very effective too. A little different style of runner, but he's got excellent quickness, great stiff arm, good ability to break tackles and get yards on his own. Good in the passing game, so it's two different styles of back, but both very productive and hard to stop with a good scheme, good players. Run behind that left side there with Thomas and Betonio. They've got good blocking out of the tight end position. And a fullback position as well, so the receivers do a good job blocking them. It's a tough, well-disciplined, well-coached football team that is good fundamentally. They don't make many mistakes. They make you execute well against them. That's gonna be a big challenge for us. We know that.
Coach, what did you like about Barkevius Mingo that made you guys trade for him?
We thought that he'd give us some speed and versatility to our team. He's got, obviously some experience. So, he's able to do some different things for us. And, again, his length, his speed, his versatility, it's hard to find.
When he's healthy, how does Gronk change your offense?
Rob's an explosive player. Again, our offense is kind of based on what's available. So, if we have options to get the ball to Rob, we do. If we don't, then we use our other players. So we have multiple options on each play. It just depends on who's open and what the play is, what the matchups are, where the quarterback should go with the ball.
Hey, Bill, as you come to town this weekend, there will be a Jim Brown statue at the stadium that was never there before. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that, it was long overdue, or what are your thoughts on that, and will you kind of go take a peek at it?
Definitely long overdue. In my opinion, no greater player in professional football than Jim Brown. But on top of that, Jim's a very special person. He's a great friend, and he's a great leader. I respect and have great admiration for the things that Jim has accomplished throughout his life, his career on the football field, lacrosse field, but more importantly off the field, and the AmeriCam program that he's developed, and I've had the opportunity to witness that and be a part of it firsthand and be involved with Jim on some of those some of the things that he was doing with his organization there. I wish that statue had been there when I was there. It certainly would have been deserving then. How long ago that was, 25 years ago or whatever it was. But great, great man, great football player, great person. Nobody I have higher respect for than Jim Brown.
Hey, Coach, I realize you haven't practiced yet, but can you tell how excited Tom is to be back and what kind of boost that might be able to give your team?
The best thing that each player could do on this team is prepare well and perform well on Sunday. And it's the same thing for the coaching staff. that's the best thing anybody could do is to go out there and perform well and do their job. I don't think we need to be worried about what everybody else is doing or what anybody else is doing. I think we each need to do a better job than what we did last week, which wouldn't take much.
Bill, it's very early in the season, but how do you feel that Hugh Jackson has made his mark on this Browns franchise, especially in the offense?
Well, as I said, I think the team is a young team. They improve every week. They're a very good fundamental team. They play hard. They hustle. They don't give you any easy plays. You've got to earn it. You've got to really execute well. They're explosive. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They've got big play players. They're good in the kicking game. They put a lot of pressure on you there. They're very creative on special teams and, force you to defend a lot of different things there. Defensively, they're sound. They make you earn every yard. Shelton's really hard to block on defense. Our linebackers are very fast. They have a very experienced secondary. And they run down a lot of plays. They get to a lot because of their overall team speed, especially at the linebacker position. They play a lot of guys up front. So you have to be prepared to block, different players on each, not on each play, but throughout the course of the game, with different playing styles and different, the different skills that they bring. So it's a challenge to match up against them in all three phases of the game. And again, it's a team that is fundamentally sound. They're well coached. And you've got to play well against them, and they take advantage of mistakes or sloppy football or, just if you don't do things quite right, then, Hayden will step in front of a slant or Taylor will step in front of an over route or, they'll strip the ball from you or they can rip off a 25 to 85-yard, gap run if somebody's out of their gap responsibility or you miss a tackle. So they can hurt you in a lot of different ways.
Bill Belichick's got me believing in the Cleveland Browns. You got to love this guy's press conferences.
It's the best.
Nothing but complete positive. I mean, it sounds like we have a team of nothing but, first ballot Hall of Famers at every position, and the Patriots aren't good. And I love that he can't even take 1 second to talk about what Tom Brady coming back means to the team. He said, all we can hope for is for each player to practice hard and do his job on Sunday, and that's what the coaches can do.
And we haven't even practiced yet, so I don't know any of their demeanors.
Unreal. He's great. He's great. Sometimes the fact that he's able to do that in a setting where, people are trying to do their jobs, sometimes it's hard when you have people being rude in your place of business when you're trying to do your job, like Mo Pedman is currently being very rude in our studio today, laughing and becoming red-faced for no apparent reason.
Chinese buffet down the street. Take a hike.
Take a hike, Mo Pedman. This is a place of business in here. Yeah, we're talking to you, Mo Pedman. It's a place of business in here, and you're over here laughing and squealing around like you're having the best time ever.
Like you're swimming in Jell-O.
We're on to New England, okay, to quote Bill Belichick. We don't have time for your distractions. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. We'll start to get into this team and let you know what the Patriots are bringing. We can tell you maybe a little bit more than their own head coach, Bill Belichick, who is tight-lipped on the matter. Plus, we'll get in the mailbag, and I do believe we also have, hopefully Blanca is still with us in Bay Village. Love Blanca, so hopefully he is still with us. We'll talk with Blanca when we return.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog pound through the Cleveland Browns Foundation 50-50 raffle. Lucky fans in attendance can enter to win big at Browns home games and make a difference in the lives of Cleveland's youth. That's called a win-win, folks. Raffle tickets can be purchased at First Energy Stadium through your smartphone on the Browns mobile app or to kiosk locations. Don't miss this chance to support your Cleveland Browns Foundation and shoes and clothes for kids. Go Browns. Nathan Zier and Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl. by the way. Let's go back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850, and let's talk to Blanca. What's up, Blanca?
Nathan, Matthew, good afternoon, man. What's going on?
Not much, man. How are you?
Doing good. As we stare down the barrel of maybe 0-5.
Yes.
I actually go ahead and look at five things that make me very encouraged from this year compared to last year.
Okay.
Real quick, and then I'll listen.
Okay.
Number one, we've got our coach.
Yes.
Number two, we've got our running back.
Yes.
Number three, we've got our wide receiver.
We got one of them. And maybe two when Corey Coleman comes back, so I'll say yes.
Number four, we've got a young defense with Danny Shelton that is efforting every week.
Yes, I'll agree with that.
And number five, we're staying the course. Just like the man going down the trench in Star Wars, stay on target.
Stay on target. I like that. Yes, you are right. Stay on target. It didn't work out for one of those guys. I think the guy saying stay on target didn't quite make it. But what he did, his sacrifices paved the way for Luke Skywalker. It's true.
Agreed.
Blanca, I like it. I like the five things, and I think the coach, the most important thing to me is the coach. You've got that guy in Hugh Jackson. All along, the one thing that in position they were steadfast and resolute about that we had the guys was running back.
Correct.
And that was Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown. They both like Crow and Duke, and by the way, they're making them look smart right now.
They are. And here's the thing, and I think that, and I'll go back, and I know we talked about it on Monday, but the Minnesota Vikings, Sam Bradford was the number one overall pick in the league. And has been paid like one and has been framed like one both in St. Louis. I was going to say Los Angeles. St. Louis as well as Philadelphia. But where does he rank for you amongst the NFL? Is he a top 15 quarterback?
Sam Bradford?
Yeah. Okay, so what? 13 to 18, right? And if you look at the Minnesota Vikings on the template that they've created, it's play great defense in that division, essentially build a team to stop Aaron Rodgers defensively, and then run the football with Adrian Peterson. And I think even in Teddy Bridgewater is the franchise quarterback there in Minnesota, but he's not a top 10 quarterback. He's maybe a borderline top, a lot like Sam Bradford, you know, a game managing, great decision making quarterback for your team.
Yep.
And Blanca's call kind of took me to 2018, and I hate to fast forward 3 years.
Okay? You're zipping through 17. It's going to be wonderful.
Hold on. But I'm just saying is young pieces getting great experience this year defensively, growing up very quickly, you know, getting tougher, growing in this scheme with Ray Horton here. I think offensively you've got your run game. You've got an offensive line, you know, that is not old. Joe Thomas is not old, but experienced. They're getting better. You've got young playmakers. You've got the 12 draft picks. I could see the Cleveland Browns in 2 years from now look a whole hell of a lot like the Minnesota Vikings. You've got dynamic playmakers. And I haven't talked about the position of the positions, which is quarterback. My whole point and why I said it is Bradford's a 12 to 18 quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater's a 12 to 18 quarterback, a game-managing guy. And yet, everything around him is firing around him. You've got the strong run game. You've got the physical offensive line. You've got the defense with budding stars, you know, hungry for second contracts here in Cleveland, all playing well together. And the talent has been accumulated via the draft by the Cleveland Browns.
And you have the opportunity, likely to pick early in this draft, to get a quarterback who's even better than
correct.
That. With those pieces. But you're right. Talked about Terrell Pryor. That's going to be one of the keys. I think you've got to lock up Terrell Pryor. We'll talk with Charles Robinson about that in the second hour. The defense, yes, you can see young pieces that have an opportunity to be here for the next 3-plus years and beyond in some cases on this defense coming together. And what was the last point? Was that the last one? Oh, that was the last one.
Yeah.
Coach, running back, receiver, defense.
Stay the course.
Oh, and staying the course. And they are staying the course. And I think that it's something that they will stick through for at least a while and give this a chance to really work out. By the way, our guy John Costco tweeted me, Pro Football Focus has come out with their NFL power rankings for the season after four games, after the quarter point. Where would you think the Browns are ranked?
I know that's a trick question. 26th.
Browns are ranked 23rd overall in the Pro Football Focus Power Rankings, 17th on offense, 21st on defense. They are ahead of San Diego 24th, Tennessee 25th, Jacksonville 26th, Detroit 27th, Indianapolis 28th, Houston 29th, surprise to me there, Tampa 30th, Niners 31st, and the JETS Jets, Ryan Fitzpatrick interception.
Does every team, but the Texans behind us in those rankings all are all at 1-3, correct?
San Diego, yes. Tennessee, yes. Jacksonville, yes. Detroit, yes. Indy, yes. Houston is as well, aren't they? No, Houston's three and one.
But that's the one exception. But I'm saying outside of them, the Jets are. And my whole point is, and I think it goes back to the earlier caller that we had in the show, we could very well be 3-1.
Sure.
You know.
But they're not.
Or even 2-2. Say you lose the Washington game, you lose the Eagles game. The two inside of that, the Baltimore and the Miami game, are winnable against teams that I don't believe, when it's all said and done, are going to have a record above 500, even though the Baltimore Ravens right now sit at 3-1.
So the Pro Football Focus Power Rankings represent how every NFL team ranks overall to this point this season based on their grading of every player, of every play, of every game. Factors in offense, defense, special teams does not factor in coaching and scheme, which may result in some teams playing better than the sum of their parts. It does not take into account things like team record, injuries, or playoff odds. It's a measure of the team's performance at this point in the season. So another way to look at it, I know that Pat Kerwin did his, and the Browns are 32nd. He looks at different things, says that Hugh Jackson is coaching his butt off. They just don't have enough talent. When we come back, hour number two here on CBD, we've got the mailbag. We've got Joe Thomas. We've got Charles Robinson. We've got your calls. I know a couple of you guys are on the line. We'll get to those when we return here. 216-578-0850, Cleveland Browns Daily, ESPN 850 WKNR.